This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Corbin kicks and deals. And that ball is lifted out into right field. Adolis on the move. He will not get there. It lands inside the line. Urshela scores. Rooker hits the bag at third. He's being waved home. The relay throw is not in time. Rooker scores from first on the double by Soderstrom just inside the right field line. The A's punch through and lead 2-0.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball.
Ranger fans, you're not dreaming.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
Rangers lose 2-1 to the Athletics, the Sacramento A's. They again fail to score more than two runs.
This
is now, what, four straight games they have not cracked two runs?
It's not fun. In fact, I've got to compare, Chop. I got to see what, because remember, we were just beside ourselves about the offense early last year. I got to see how this feels like it might be worse. Than the start to last.
There's a level of ineptitude there, here, I should say. And that's a bad thing. I saw this from ESPN. Our good friend David Schoenfield did this.
Well.
And, you know, there's some things that's going on in baseball. The National League West is shaping up to be a fun race this entire year.
You're gonna win 95 games and finish last.
Aaron Judge has got he's chasing 400. On the batting average, I mean, he is having a crazy year. Mike Trout's having a really nice year again.
Torpedo bat, baby. That's what saved old Aaron Judge.
I don't think he's using it.
I know, I'm kidding. He used it one of the first days.
Yeah. You know, the Mets offense is not producing, but they're winning with pitching. The Dodgers they started off so well, and now they're like, eh. The Cubs offense is incredible. And PCA is just, you know, doing his thing. But then you get to the disappointments that are happening this year. And one of them, they write, is Marcus Semien. Now, they went and did the, for each position group, the all-star, the player to watch, and then the biggest disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, you know, a catcher, Adley Rutschman, is barely batting over 200. His on-base percentage is .318. Pete Alonso's having a great year for the Mets. Vlad Jr. is not living up to the contract he just signed. But then you get on over to second base, and the most disappointing second baseman has been Marcus Semien. Now, the write-up here says he's gone through these types of spells before. Remember, in his first year with Texas in 2022, he did not have a home run in the first 43 games.
Dude, I didn't remember it was that long. I remember it took him a while, but I did not remember it took that long.
I mean, that's a quarter of the season. We're still 2 weeks away from that mark, from the Rangers' perspective.
Yeah, and he finished that year with 20, didn't he? No, 26.
Yeah, so he went on a tear. And remember, like, you know, he was only 31 at the time. Mm-hmm. When you're 34, slumps take on a different view. His bat speed metrics are stable, but on the slow side anyway.
Yeah, he's a slow. So earlier in the season, his bat speed was a little down.
Yeah, now it's back to normal.
It's back to normal now, but he's still in the lower percentile. His bat speed's like 67.5.
But they said it's always what it's been for him. I guess, I don't know.
So yeah, if you look at the metrics from the last couple years, he's always been right around there. Earlier in the year, he was about a mile per hour off. He was like at 66 the first few weeks of the season.
They say his bat speed metrics, like I said, stable, although on the slow side already. And it looks like he has hit in some bad luck. But the Rangers obviously need him to get things going and turn things around. Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they absolutely do. Now, I will say that he's he's still not hitting great, but you're talking about he's got, you know, three-game hitting streak right now. He's gotten hits in three straight games. He's still, you know, showing decent patience at the plate. He's walking enough that, you know, you've got his on-base percentage is like 70 points above his batting average. That's good. That's solid. If you look at, but I mean, still, even so, when you feel like he's kind of turned it around over the last 12 games, he's still just hitting 209. But the problem was he was hitting 110 before that.
Yeah, right. So that's I mean, it's double.
Yeah, I mean, the last 12 games, he's hit 209, which is better. But I mean, if you look at, for instance, let me pull up Baseball Savant and see what Simeon's got there. So Simeon, on Baseball Savant, they will look at, due to, you know, exit velocity and different factors, they'll look at what your expected batting average should be. Like, basically trying to average out the luck. And right now, his expected batting average would be 228, which is still not good, but he's hitting one, what is he at right now? 155 or something like that?
Yeah.
And so you're talking about, it does, that makes a difference. He's 155, so yeah, he's hitting about 70 points below his expectation. Oof. So he's run into some bad luck.
Yeah, he has, but I mean, that's not going to be, you're not going to run into 70 points worth of bad luck. Someone who's not performing poorly, the Rangers might have the best left fielder in baseball on this team.
Do they?
And Wyatt Langford.
He's a good player.
His 1070 OPS is fourth in Major League Baseball. It is first out of all left fielders. This is from Ranger Savant Instagram pages. They're Tolos. He has a 206 weighted runs created plus. League average is 100. So he is twice as good as the league average player in weighted runs created plus. I'm not going to get into all of that stat encompasses. That's fourth in all of baseball. It's first out of all left fielders. There is nobody who plays left field that is even close. The number two is Stephen Kwan, who plays for Cleveland. All right, he's at 163. Like a 206 weighted runs created, you're looking at Aaron Judge territory. You're looking at Shohei territory, right? He is 18th in all of baseball in batting average at 321. They don't even look at batting average anymore. They don't even care, but he's that good at it.
Yeah.
That's second out of all left fielders. The only one better is a guy who is a hitting machine from an average perspective, and that's Stephen Kwan at 337. And then he's fifth in baseball in slugging, 661. That is first out of all left fielders, fifth in Major League Baseball. The second place left fielder in slugging percentage. Again, he's at 661. It's James Wood, not the actor, at 559.
That's James Woods.
That's James Woods. That's over a 100-point difference.
No, I mean, he's been an absolute machine.
So while they have the worst second baseman, they've got the best left fielder.
Yeah, and I'm still hoping. Here's the good thing. On Simeon, you still feel like, even if it's not going to get back to where it needs to be, there are margins to be made up here.
Yeah, there are.
On Langford, Langford's hitting the way he's supposed to. This is what it's supposed to look like with Wyatt Langford. Like, there's not a whole bunch of just stupid luck that's going to come back down to earth. This is the kind of player that they thought they were getting when they drafted him. And that's the thing that's really exciting about this. In fact, I got to look this up. He was at... I'm going to find these numbers really quickly. You can go to your next thing, Chop, because I'm gonna look up some numbers really quickly on Wyatt Langford
that I think
are going to be good.
Here's something to keep an eye on. This is not a Rangers nugget. This is just around the sport. Closers who were dominant last year had a rough postseason. So there's two of them. They've had a terrible carryover. Our old buddy, Emmanuel Clase. He blew a save in, what, game three of the ALDS, and then he gave up runs in game four of the ALDS as well. He has already given up more runs this year than he did all of last year.
Wow.
So remember, he blew a save in the playoffs. Devin Williams, Milwaukee, last year in the playoffs, gave up the home run to Pete Alonso. He was traded in New York. He has given up 12 runs in 8 innings and has already lost his closer's job. So they both blew it in the playoffs last year, and they're having down starts to their season. I don't think there's any question there's been a carryover, because these guys have been basically unhittable for 2 to 3 years prior to this.
Yeah, and I mean, like, there's got to be a connection because just look at the fact that...
Makes no sense.
Well, I mean, and relievers historically, it's like a kicker, right?
Where it really
is. If you get your mentals messed up, you're just... It can completely destroy you. And that's exactly what it feels like has happened with those two. I mean, the Alonso home run was... That was devastating for anybody who wasn't a Mets fan. It was devastating for... you know what I mean? Anybody who was invested in that series, it was devastating for.
Class A, last year, he had 47... He's led the league in saves the last 3 years. By the way, I mean, like, that's... He's only 27. I don't know how many guys have led the league in saves 3 straight years and didn't make the Hall of Fame at the end.
I mean, yeah, who were we thinking about? Wagner?
Gagne. Probably
did Gagne do it 3 times?
I'm sure. I mean, he Hoffman, had like 80 saves in a row, didn't he?
Hoffman, Eckersley. I mean, those are all, they're all there.
So, but last year he gave up 5 earned runs. He's already given up 9 this year. 9.
Damn. I mean, some guys just get rattled. The guy I always think of as an example for this is Koji Uehara. Mm-hmm. He got traded here and was one of the most dominant relievers in the game. He got traded here and got rocked for like 6 home runs and 14 innings pitched or something.
Yeah.
Just completely out of the blue. And then left here and was fine again.
Right.
And it was just, it was the most bizarre stretch when they traded. And they had given up a lot for him. But it was just the most bizarre stretch. And... This is the thing. Those guys can get rattled very, very easily just with where things are at. Okay, so I was taking a look at some Wyatt Langford numbers. I was trying to see if you were to look at where he was at the end of last season. So take basically just the last month of the year and then bring it into the first month this year. That would be 45 games that he's played, Chop. And he's hitting .310 over that time. He has... 14 home runs, which if you were to extrapolate that pace out to 162 games, that's a 50 home run season. He has 11 doubles, so that's a 40 double season. He has 11 steals. You're talking about a .310 hitter who on over 162 game pace. The last 2 full months of baseball he's played, his 162 game pace is a .310 hitter that hits 50 home runs, 40 doubles, and steals 40 bases.
Those are numbers reminiscent of somebody who at one point not only wins an MVP, but becomes the best player in the sport for a minute.
Yeah. 100%.
Those are great numbers. If you to extrapolate those. You got now look, that's only doing it over a 2 month span, and it's a lot of extrapolating.
It's a third of a season,
though. But it's still a third of a season. That's pretty damn good. So we'll see. Because I saw this I had this stat on Aaron Judge. So since April 27th of last year through April 27th of this year, it's 157 games played, .363, .491 on base, .766 slugging, 61 home runs, and 157 RBIs. Like that's stupid, right?
Yeah.
And as good as Wyatt Langford's been doing, like that's a 50-point difference in batting average. And we're talking about a Wyatt looking at him as like this is the guy who is at one point going to be a league MVP.
Yeah.
Like you would take, if I told you right now, the based on the way he's played over his last 2 months, if I set the over-under on career MVPs at a half, you would take the over.
Yeah, 100%.
You would take the over.
This is 2 months. His OPS is just over 1,000.
Do it.
Like talking about a guy who's just getting on, a guy who would be on pace to score 100 runs, you know, get 50 home runs, 40 doubles, get the 40 walks. Like, it's just he's a monster.
He really
right
is.
Now.
Yeah, he really is. And like the, you know, the problem is like currently they've got a monster in the sport with Judge in the AL, but also Bobby Jr.
Yeah,
is somebody who is going to win several MVPs. I mean, he already has a 1.5 WAR this year. It's pretty good. I mean, we're not even a quarter. We're only 30 games into the year.
Yeah. Now, one of the big things that's also going to be in play for Wyatt when you look to him towards the future and try to figure out some of the ways that he can contribute is he is supposed to project also as a good defensive player.
Yeah,
I mean, he does have positive. He had basically a full win share, wins above replacement defensively last year, and he's already in the positive margins this year.
Yep. It's fun. It's fun to watch. You know, just the rest of the team, they just got to hit. They just have to hit better. Sean and Roger here, 105.3 The Fan. Let's talk to our old buddy. We haven't talked to this guy in a while.
It's been a minute.
Let's do it. Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com. Join the show next on 105 Through the Fan.
There is nothing better than playoff hockey. And we are underway again! Score! Just to begin 9 seconds in! We were wondering if the big weapons were going to put the puck in the net tonight for Dallas. Wyatt Johnston just did!
Bob Schuster with the call. ESPN, electric night at the American Airlines Center. Stars, the crowd was into it. There was never a moment that crowd was not into it last night. That was a raucous crowd. Stars get the 6-2 victory.
All the testimony we've heard from people who were out there at the game, stuff you saw on social media, was that when that Johnston goal went in at 9 seconds in, that felt like the roof was going to blow off the thing. That it was, and you could hear it there. I mean, just the crowd was super loud, super into it all night.
Yeah, I had the school spirit going on the house.
You showed me that during the break.
I got the jellyfish lights, and I put the Stars colors on the house. Big game. You got to do it.
It's good.
You got to do it in a big game.
You should bring those lights out to Anna tomorrow. You should see if you can just pull them off the house.
Just rip them off the house.
Yeah, and then like give them to Ruben. He'll put them on the little setup there. Because we are going to be in Anna tomorrow for the Firehouse Tour. It is stop two of the 2025 Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour. We want you guys out there. We want to see you guys. It'll be me, RJ. We're also going to have Zach Wolchuk out there sitting with us. Nick Harris from the Fort Worth Star Telegram is going to join us for a segment while we're out there. We've also got a big day tomorrow with Boone, and I think we got Meat Church as well.
Yeah, we do, both of them.
So come on out. So if you're in Anna, Blue Ridge, Prosper, Melissa, McKinney, Princeton, Salina, whatever, come on out. This will be a good stop for you guys to come see us. We're going to have breakfast from Whataburger, free breakfast, I might add, as well as special edition Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour baseball caps, which brought us and others have already instructed me to save them one, steal them one. So these are going to go fast. You guys are going to need to swing by and get yours. 305 South Powell Parkway in Anna. That's 305 South Powell Parkway in Anna. Thank you to the tour partners, Whataburger, Fraser Roofs and Gutters, and Firehouse Movers.
All right, very nice. But joining us now on the D&M Leasing Hotline, it is the great Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, our good friend. Haven't talked to him since, week 17?
No, we talked to him.
It was the Super Bowl week, right?
And we talked to him about Zach Martin retirement, I think.
Oh, yeah, very nice. Good morning, Nicholas.
Good morning. I was afraid you were going to ask me about hockey.
No. So we had to knock that out first. Everybody's very excited about the hockey right now.
Oh, yeah.
We knew not to press you too much about hockey, though.
All I know is that this is about when I kind of pick up on with hockey. You know what I mean? It's kind of like the marathon. You know, I'm the point two. I mean, I'll let the 26 miles go through, but at the end, you know, the point two, then now I'm ready for the marathon. So that's kind of the way I am with hockey.
You know, hockey's played on ice. That's what you know.
I do know that. I do know they gave up 3 goals in like a minute. Then that kind of changed the whole season there, the regular season. But you know what? Playoff hockey is different. They figured it out. They got the lead. I think they'll win 1 or 2. I don't know what happens after that. I don't know anything after that.
I do wonder if hockey's probably number two in terms of fans that jump on in playoff time, like compared to the regular season. I would bet like there's just a huge influx of people that start consuming the playoffs. Number one would be college basketball. But outside I would think hockey would be number two.
College baseball jumps in there too.
It does.
I mean, like for when you talk about the amount of that watch the end that don't watch anything before that, I would think the College World Series might be up there.
I'll tell you this though, man. Like my kids play baseball. But all their teammates, they watch college baseball more than MLB during the regulars. It's weird. Yeah.
They like those metal backs.
I think that probably is what it is.
That's what it is.
Because they always say, what bet they're using? I want their bet.
Nick, so I guess the basic question right out of the gate, I mean, we've obviously heard a lot of positive things coming out about the Cowboys draft class. They think they got a lot of great value up and down the board. But they come out of this thing without what a lot of people felt like was their top need for a second year in a row. No wide receiver two. What do you think about I guess I'll start off with this. How many different, like in the course of the first several picks, do you think they were close to picking a receiver, or do you think the value was so much better with the guy that they picked that they were like, we can't justify forcing a receiver here?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it's a weird draft when you think about the first overall pick, I think would have been a receiver if he was there. I mean, I really do think McMillan would have been the guy over Booker. I think their grades were close, but you got to go with the position there, a receiver. So when that didn't happen, it's hard to think that what you'd have, you know, 8 other picks and none of them were receivers. Were they close? I think most of the time it wasn't. The receiver wasn't the position there, except for maybe the fifth round where was it Shamar James? I think that's one where they were looking at another receiver there too, and it just comes down to who is going to play on the field, you know, more this year. And you know, with the linebacker situation the way it was, I think that they decided to go that route, and they'd already picked Blue a few picks before that. That's the one where they traded. And my understanding was there was a 2 out of 3 scenario, 3 guys there. Lambert Smith maybe was the receiver, Blue, and then Shamar James, and they were good with getting 2 of the 3, and it just worked out that they feel like these guys are going to have a better chance to play, which at that point in the fifth round lets you kind of know where that's maybe they didn't think these guys were going to be better than what they had. Obviously, first 2 rounds are different, but not so much in the middle rounds.
All right, let's get to week one. Who's the number 2?
Where are we playing? I say that because, I mean, the schedule's not out yet, and I say that because we've still got a little bit to go. I don't know if that guy's on the roster right now, to be honest with you. I don't know if that number 2 receiver's on the roster. There's been a lot of talk about getting free agent guys that are still there. There's been some trades, as Jerry has alluded to. And I think that whoever they bring in and or make a trade to bring in is going to be an upgrade over what they have. So not to sidestep the question, but I don't think your number 2 receiver is actually here right now.
Amari Cooper?
He's not here right now. So yeah. I think his name has been mentioned. I don't hate it. The reasons that it didn't work out the first time and why they wanted to move on are not the same reasons anymore. And money, I mean, being a huge part of that. And I think there was a thought in the building of letting CD really open up and be the guy and not let anyone kind of be in the way of that. And that certainly had happened. And then some of the other things that we heard about that maybe were reasons why the Cowboys wanted to move on from Mario. I mean, those aren't even things in our world anymore. So I think it would be a better fit if that's where they want to go, but I don't think he's the only option right now.
Nick, how many starters for 2025 do you think the Cowboys pulled out of this draft? Let me just. How many starters do you think they pulled out for 2025, and how many starters do you think they pulled out for 2026?
Yeah, that's a great question there. 1 and 2. I mean, now, 1 and 3. 1 and 3 for sure, because I think when you look at the pass rusher, I think Booker is going to be a starter. He has to be. You don't draft a guard right there if he's not ready to start yesterday. He's ready. He's ready to start. He's got to be. I think Isaracu will be a starter, I mean, probably, if not this year, by the next year, when you think about, and that was a part of the discussion, you know, was Sam Williams on the last year of his deal, Dante Fowler on a 1-year deal. I mean, truth be told, Mike is on the last year of his deal, not that I think that this is the last year he'll be here, but I'm just saying, I think by the next year, I think Irazoku will probably be that guy. And then, we'll see if Revel will be there as well. He should be. He should be ready for that. That's kind of why they drafted him, because of the huge upside. So 3 for sure. And then I'm kind of even forgetting about, I know there wasn't a 4th-round pick. Then 5th-round, you got Blue. I just don't see him as a starting-type running back. He didn't start at Texas, but I know he was still a playmaker.
So how do you see the depth chart for running back right now?
I see both. I mean, I probably Williams and then Sanders, but I could be wrong there. It could be the other way around. I think those 2 guys, and then you look at Blue. I was just watching tape of Mafah, the 7th rounder, and it's impressive. His tape's impressive, but they don't always show some of the negative plays on those kind of things. But what I did like was a big power back that's running away from some of the ACC competition there, and that's, I mean, it wasn't like it was just, Furman, I'm trying to think of somebody I think Clemson's played. I mean, I felt like it was North Carolina State and Florida State and those teams that he's running away from them. And so he looks like a big power back. I think he's going to factor into this mix. So Williams, Sanders, Blue, Moffa, and then, you know, you have Deuce in there, Malik Davis for now. But, I mean, I think, you know, Hunter Lipke is going to have a somewhat of a role, I would think.
Nick Eatman from DallasCowboys.com joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Nick, it seemed like a big focus here. A couple years ago in the draft, it felt like they were like, all right, toughness, edge, we got to get that. Or they identify these peripheral things that they want to accomplish. It seemed like this draft, again, continued to carry over the theme that Schottenheimer started with his first press conference, which is culture, 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 and really establishing that and changing that. How much of that do you think was the tiebreaker or the separator for them in instances where their board was really tight?
I think that's 100% right. I mean, I think that you're exactly right. I think culture, I think loving football, leadership, being a captain. I mean, I don't think they went out just seeking captains from their team, but I do think it was guys that have the right study habits and things like that. And you know, and I say it all the time, you know, playing football on Sunday or Monday or Thursday, whatever the day of the week is, that's important. But if you don't love football or you don't take care of what you need to take care of Monday through Friday, with your body, your preparation, with your study habits and all that things, if you don't take care of that, then your team's not going to be as good. And we've seen that. We've seen that. Last year, they didn't seem prepared. They couldn't score a touchdown in the first quarter or even in the third quarter. They weren't taking coaching and applying it to the field. That is coaching, and that's part of that's on the players as well. And I think getting more guys that love the game and love to do all the things necessary to win was important here, and it feels like they added a few of those guys.
All right, Nick, I got to know, we obviously did the draft coverage, partnered up with you guys over at DallasCowboys.com, and on day three, they selected UCLA defensive tackle Jay Toya, and I'm curious if you heard Zach Wolchuk's finishing question to Jay. Did you hear that?
I've heard about it.
You're going to hear it right now.
Well, I love playing
this. All right. So we're going to play for you Wolchuk's question to Jay Toya and then his justification following behind that.
All right, Jay, so can we teach the entire defensive front the haka and make sure we do this every pregame?
I mean, I'm not a haka specialist. You know, that's more like Marin's, you know. I'm Tongan, so I'm not really a haka specialist, but I mean, we could try.
We can try.
Well, we appreciate you taking some time. All right, Jay Toy joining us here on the
draft. Don't put the camera on. What are we
doing? If your brother's a rugby player in New Zealand,
he ain't gonna miss there by some.
How are you not?
It doesn't mean he knows how to do it.
I get okay. Well, if you're
down,
we need your brother.
I dare you to walk up to him.
I will. I'll do it in Alex Nard's shirt.
Break down and start doing
it. Is that racist?
No, not at all. Ulysses does it before every game.
That's racist, bro.
How?
That's racist, bro.
I'm Tongan, bro.
They all the same. They all do that little dance. Hey, Jay, why don't you do that little dance y'all do?
I got to step out. I'm serious.
What's that thing y'all do? The haka? Do that haka.
That was not good.
So, Nick, how would you have handled being in Wolchuk's position?
Wow. Well, that's first of all, that's as day three as it gets right there. Like that's,
yes. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. And I'm one of those where like you could sit back all day in the media and just you know, say, hey, happy to be here. What's this like for your family and all this kind of stuff. He went for it. I get, you know, he didn't necessarily know the difference. So I don't fault him 100% for that. I thought it was a little bit too much there on the back end from the other guys. You know what I mean? I've always been one of those that's like, well, where were you? You know, like, why did you bring anything to the table? What was your question? He you don't hit home runs if you don't swing. He went for it. He missed. That's okay. I'm okay with that. Now, the doubling down on the rugby part or whatever was happening there, it's like he wasn't going to let it go.
No.
But, hey, I know this. Your brain is just like is like a fried egg on Thursday, especially when you're doing those shows and all the draft coverage. So I don't really fault them so much for that. It's fine. I mean, I heard Kyle in there. I don't think he was 100% clear from what I've heard.
Kyle gave the – when Zach asked the question, Kyle went, like good question. And then he doubled back and threw him under the bus.
Well, he told me that he was also – a finalist on the G-Bag, whatever they do. I don't know.
He was,
G-Bag of the day. Very good. Thank you, Nick.
All right, guys. See you.
Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com here on 105.3. The Fan. KNC Masterpiece Crosstalk's next. Crosstalk the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3. The Fan. I'm RJ Chobby, Bubby Belt, Peyton, and Aiden. And we are joined by Kevin and Corey. KNC Masterpiece. Good morning, boys.
Guys.
Gentlemen.
I think I might be in a good mood today.
Okay.
Sweet
Jesus. I am very rarely in a good mood.
Why are you in a good mood?
So, I have a theory.
Stars one.
Is this the 820 segment where we talked about defeating depression?
I mean, so I have started a new medicine, and so I am really hopeful that that is what's happening. Now, the Stars whooping the Avalanche's ass doesn't hurt, but I'm kind of hoping.
New medicine,
turning a corner
huh?
here. Yeah, for the first time in like 20 years, I switched my medicine.
Yeah, NyQuil. He's going
not
to NyQuil
that
now.
That kind of medicine.
Nighttime. Hey, all right. Did you guys know? Like, so have y'all ever taken ZQuil?
I need to hear more about this.
I took it once and didn't.
So ZQuil
anything.
Is just hold on, NyQuil hold on. Without.
No.
It's the sleep.
That's
time.
What I think too.
Yeah.
No, it's worse than that. ZQuil.
It's worse.
I had a doctor explain this to me. They're like, well, you don't need to get ZQuil if you don't, because they charge more for it. It's Benadryl. It's not even like it's not even a thing of just like, oh, there's the same sort of stuff. It is Benadryl in a bottle. That's what you're drinking when you drink ZQuil. It's
Benadryl's
just Benadryl.
Fantastic.
Is it Benadryl like an allergy medicine?
Yes, but it's an antihistamine. So it'll treat allergic reactions or just treat allergies in general, but it'll also make you drowsy. And so it's this like it's the same dosage and everything. It's Benadryl in a bottle.
We went to go see Secret Lives of Pets and gave Avery some Benadryl because he was having allergy problems. And within 2 minutes of the movie starting, he passed out and was snoring in the movie and drooled all over the seat. It was hilarious.
A good drool.
Good drool snaps.
Drooling nap is amazing.
But yeah, Benadryl, it's actually interesting. My therapist told me back in the day, I was like, I have problems sleeping. And he was like, all right, we need to work on your sleep hygiene. And I was like, all right, what's sleep hygiene? He said, you need to go to bed at the same time every night, do the same thing before bed every night, read something boring. And he said, you're going to eventually, it's going to condition your brain to be tired at the same time and go to sleep.
Wow.
So I did that. And he goes, and if all else fails, take a little Benadryl. I was like, all right.
How good is your brain supposed to be? Like how, and I don't just mean you in general, I mean anybody. How good is your brain supposed to be if you just like, you can trick it. Just like tell it you're going to bed every night at the same time.
My brain's pretty dumb. I can trick
brain.
It.
But like, I mean, you difference. Use your brain to come up with the concept of tricking your brain.
For a lot of things, yeah.
Yeah.
We get conditioned. Think about all the things we can condition ourselves for by tricking our own brains.
Have y'all ever done like the Navy SEAL breathing technique to sleep?
Mm-hmm.
Did it work for you?
It
didn't work for me. I'm concentrated too much on counting.
My sister-in-law is a sleep therapist at St. Jude.
For
kids who are really in pain and like trying to sleep. And I asked her about that once, and she said that's really more about your brain. Like it's nothing physical that's changing it. It's just your brain telling yourself that it's going to work. So it's more placebo, but it does. If it's placebo, it works.
I always do Kristen can't stand it. I have to put on headphones for it. She won't just let me have it on. But I subscribe to Headspace.
There you go.
And under Headspace, the sleep casts. Have you ever done those?
Yeah.
These are like these 45-minute things of like, they're all different stories that you can listen to every night. And it could be like, one is called Timeless Clock Shop. And so it's just this sound of like rain and like the sound of a clock shop. And it's somebody telling you a story about, there's this clock shop. You walk in, the clockmaker's in the back. And it's basically just something to kind of like distract you. But then there's also randomly dropped in there, they tell you to do a breathing exercise real quick while they're in the middle of the story and you're still hearing everything, and it knocks me out fast.
And there's no like, there's no plot to the story. It's
no,
just
but I'm kind
it just
of engaged.
Exists because it's but it doesn't it's
just,
not one of those
painting,
that
they're painting
keep,
a picture
yeah,
they're yes, just trying to get yes. you to feel like you are somewhere. There's one called Temple Rain. It's like supposed to be like a Buddhist temple that you're being shown around, and it's like, it's very vivid. It works like a charm for me. Kristen can't stand it.
But think about that for a second. If there was a story like a real plot and you're trying to find a MacGuffin somewhere, like you're gonna be like, what's the end of the story? I gotta stay up for the next 30 minutes. But the way they do that is really and it's very suggestive too.
What do we have coming up with the show,
guys? More suggestive stuff throughout the day.
I bet.
Right out of the gate, puck around and find out. The Stars absolutely dominated. Dude, they just dismantled the Avs last night.
It was an avalanche.
And then at 10:20, we get into the Amari Cooper conversation. So good luck to everybody out there today, because we're coming after you.
All right. Bobby, take it away.
Yeah, we got some leftover Ask Reddit that we always like to run through with you guys. You know, we're going to go with the first one. We already did this one, but it was the last one we did, but I'm interested for y'all's take on this. Do you believe it's still important to give a firm handshake when meeting someone for the first time, or is this an outdated custom of the past?
Yeah, I still think it's important. Yeah, I do.
I mean, most of the time I still find myself shaking hands, but I do a lot of fist bumping now. Just a lot of boom.
Because of COVID.
You know when this really stood out to me?
COVID, man.
2020.
This stood out to me that we're in a new era of greeting. When it was actually a couple weeks ago, like I actively thought about it, is I was walking in the lobby and I saw boss man Brian Purdy downstairs. And as I was walking over, I was like, oh, I'll give him a handshake, say what's up. And as I was about to raise my hand, he raised his first and he went with the fist.
Nice.
And I was like, oh, okay. And so I was glad he, because when you're both presenting at the same time, then you get the awkward, like who's going to change, and then you both change at the same time.
I love a good awkward. Fist, hand.
Purdy always hugs us.
I like that we're in the era though. We're in the era now of you can give the fist bump to a very prominent individual like Brian Purdy, and you don't feel like it's awkward or weird. You're just like, oh yeah, this is a perfectly acceptable way to greet somebody. So I do like that. All right, next one here.
Hold on, can I ask you a question about that?
Yeah, hit me.
Somebody just texted this in, and I've started doing this. Never shake hands sitting down. So if somebody walks in and you're sitting, you stand up to shake their hand.
Just did that like 30 minutes
ago. Yeah, I don't think I've ever sat. Yeah, I feel like I'm a mafia don. Like, yeah, come over.
What you wind up doing is you wind up just getting your butt off the seat.
Just enough. Hey, all right, then you're sitting back
down. How you doing, man?
Yeah.
All right, next question here. And we didn't answer this one, Chop, so you can weigh in on this one. Kevin Hagelin, I'll ask you first. You're a movie buff. Who's a villain who is 100% right?
Darth Vader.
No, not Darth Vader.
He was just
Vader.
Trying to help out his daughter by keeping that Han Solo kid out of there.
Yeah, if you had said Count Dooku, I think you would have been on something.
He was trying to bring Luke Skywalker into the fold.
Count was right. Am I wrong? Count was right.
I don't know about that. Let's see. Definitely not Jenny from Forrest Gump. Definitely not Rose from Titanic.
You know, there's a theory out there.
Rose is the villain, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, hold on.
Worst person ever.
She is definitely a villain.
There's plenty of room on that thing.
So,
bit of a tramp, said, too,
yeah, she is a bit of a tramp. I saw that in Seinfeld, yes. Yeah. But, like, think about it. She says that she has a life with a husband and kids after the fact. But when she's dying, who she sees is Leonardo DiCaprio that she got topless for and spent like 3 days with and then dropped off the thing to die. And then all these people spent millions of dollars to get back to that ship and like relive that. And she's like, I'm going to chuck it in the ocean.
Yeah.
Dude, there's a lot of people, and I've not gone this far into it yet, so I don't know this answer and why everybody's giving it. They're all saying Thanos.
Well, I was going to say Magneto. Magneto always just wanted equality for the mutants.
Who's the bad one in Transformers? The
Megatron?
One, him. He was one.
Calvin Johnson.
Where I was watching
Killmonger?
I watched the most recent movie and I was like, oh, like that's how he got to where he was. It's like this origin story or whatever. And I was like, oh, okay, that like makes a little more sense. Like, yeah, he was being persecuted essentially, and was like, all right, well, I'm not going to stay for this anymore. One of the most common answers over on Reddit was Tom the Cat. They're like, Jerry was invading his house. Like, he was doing his job. He was trying to get rid of the mouse. That's what you're supposed to do.
What about Mr. Glass?
Mr. Glass, I was going to throw him in there,
Mr.
too.
Mr. Glass murdered a bunch of people.
Hey!
Look.
But he was right about superheroes existing.
He was proven right. He was not right, if you know what I mean.
I don't know if I do know what you mean.
I mean, spoiler alert that he killed people.
Sometimes you got to break a few eggs.
25 years ago.
Yeah. All right, here's one. Men, what's a cheat code? And hopefully none of our wives are listening, but Peyton's about to get married, so this could be good advice. Men, what's a cheat code you discovered in marriage that actually works?
Just bring home some flowers and say you were thinking about her. Oh, my God.
Just randomly, yeah.
Yeah.
It does help. It definitely does help. Just be like, oh, yeah.
Do it today.
I saw some flowers, and I was just, you know what? I thought you needed a little pick-me-up.
There is no more apt phrase than lose the battle, win the war.
Never say fine. Never go fine. Don't do that. Just see, you know what? That makes sense.
I will say
the
cheat code is if you want the apology and it's not coming, this is honestly the cheat code in marriage is swallow your pride.
Yeah.
If you'll swallow your pride from time to time and just go,
she will too.
If you do that, honestly, she will too. Because when you apologize, then they will be free to apologize for something. So if you just go,
yeah,
look, I'm sorry, I kind of lost my cool. Then they will apologize for what they did.
Yeah, swallowing the pride is a
it smooths over
it's a
so
very
many things.
Good one. I need to do that more often.
There have been some times though, I've just been like, most of the time, it's like, all right, diffuse. If there's a disagreement, let's diffuse. Let's get over it. There are sometimes actively in my head, I'm sitting there going like, should I diffuse this right now? And I go, yeah, we haven't had it out in a little while, and I need to make a point.
I can't say what mine would be on
right
radio, but I would do it, and it usually works.
Lay down the ground rule that once a week's important because it's good for your mental health.
It's good for your mental health.
See, you heard the study right there. By the way, the bad guy that's actually 100% right, I saw this on the fan text, and it's become a common resistor, Johnny in Karate Kid.
Oh, we did that study like 5 years ago. Yeah. I'm with you.
That's very true.
What about Killmonger?
Mm-hmm. I would have said conspiracy theorist.
Killmonger's an actual pretty decent one. It's just their approach. I know what you're saying. It's their approach isn't peaceful, and that's what it's supposed to be. You're supposed to, you're supposed to have peaceful ways to come up with solutions. And now we will let them do their thing.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening.
Bobby came over. He whispered something.
An answer like I whispered to you.
Oh, yeah.
He whispered an answer. He was wrong. He was wrong. That wasn't my answer, but he whispered an answer.
But it's your answer.
It's not.
Was Tom Cruise in Eyes Wide Shut correct?
I was thinking Eyes Wide Shut. I was thinking of that. And I don't think Sarah's seen that movie. We're gonna watch that together.
You know what?
The piano.
I don't know if this is gonna be another crosstalk or whatever. We've talked about doing this segment. The movies you've watched with people that have caused fights and like
Gone Baby Gone.
Okay. For whatever reason, Eyes Wide Shut was part of it. I was in a group of five people. We were all supposed to go to dinner afterwards. We split apart after the movie because we got so heated and different about the movie.
Oh, my God. It's a creepy movie.
It is creepy.
It's definitely. And you see the Kubrick, every light's on in every scene.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of Kubrick in there.
Yeah, a lot of Kubrick. K&C Masterpiece.
Left all of it in there, actually.
Yeah, he did. Is next.
Oh, my gosh.